Well, they're not easy shoes to fill, but Salty filled them when Andy Baggerly was off covering the Hunter Pence story. Andy, you're back with us, and I hope you can get your job back.
Oh, thank you to Salty for filling in for me. I hope he didn't Wally Pip me.
He did a great job. He did the whole segment, and he got LOL and all those folks just extremely excited.
Okay, well, I'm glad, and he always makes for good radio. So,
yeah, he does.
But, yeah, Hunter Pence was ready to talk, so I had to rumble. So
right.
Thanks for bearing with me there.
Oh, we thank you for coming on. All right, let's get right to it.
Sure.
The reaction in the ball club to you from last night, knowing he's coming up, he's there, the lineup, fill us in.
Well, yeah, we just talked to him, and basically he said before his last game Thursday, even before he took the field with Las Vegas, he said he felt he was ready, just the way his body responded from a long game the previous night. You know, not only playing all nine innings, it was a long game. Las Vegas had an 8-run third inning. He stood in right field for the whole time and hit a homer and felt good. And it was the way he bounced back that really convinced him he was going to be ready to go in terms of how his wrist is feeling. It's loosening up. He's able to turn his wrist over, and it's not cranky, as he puts it. You know, still says when he's asked if he's 100%, he still says, I feel great. Let's leave it at that. So, you know, probably still a little stiffness going on in there, but he feels he's ready to compete. And then so he told the Giants before Thursday's game he was ready. He was convinced himself, and then he just had to go convince them. And he had three hits, including another homer. So so he's here. He's hitting sixth in the lineup. He's playing right field. And the Giants were 18-18 without him, which they probably have to feel pretty fortunate, as important a piece as he is.
Boy, so lineup-wise, you know, we've seen the lineup, and he's in there. He's Posey and Belt, Pence, and that kind of stuff. Are you surprised with the lineup?
No, especially after Belt had a really good game yesterday. I think if Belt had you know, struck out three times yesterday, you might see Pence a spot higher in the lineup, or maybe even Belt getting the day off entirely. You know, this allows them to go Posey, Belt, Pence, so you go right, left, right. And I think they don't want to necessarily put a whole lot of pressure on Hunter either to come in and feel like he has to do everything right away, which is why the fact they scored 10 runs and busted out without him was really good timing, I thought. He doesn't feel like he has to come in, you know, and change into his Giants uniform in a phone booth and go out, you know, with a cape and start saving people. So you know, it makes the most sense in terms of not disrupting the lineup to just do a pretty simple Maxwell out, Pence in type of thing. But you know what? The nice thing is that Bruce Bochy does have some options. Gregor Blanco is the hot hand right now. He's playing him. Nori Aoki is going to lose time with Pence coming back. The question just is how much time does he lose? And he'll get another shot to prove himself, and Maxwell is not going to go away. He's going to keep getting his starts. And Bruce Bochy will keep going with a hot hand. We've seen Angel Pagan play a lot more than I thought he would. He's on pace to start about 145 games, when his career high is 133, I believe. So I'd imagine some more days off will be in the offing for him, but he's been too good to take out. So the good thing is that Bruce Bochy has some different ways he can pivot when somebody starts cooling off, and I think everybody will be part of the mix going forward.
All right, Andy Baggerly with us, Bay Area Newspaper Group, at Extra Bags on Twitter with two Gs. Hector Sanchez to Sacramento. Any surprise in that for you?
No, not at all. I mean, they had three catchers. They were barely using Hector. You figured it would be one of the two catchers that would go down. They both had options. And obviously Hector, you know, won the battle in the spring to be the backup catcher. Susek came up when they needed another bat, essentially. You know, with other guys going down, and Susek started getting more of the starts, and so it's pretty obvious that they want to give him a chance to learn at the big league level. And I think this is partly a development question too, since he is one of their top prospects. He can learn a lot by playing every day, no question, in the minor leagues. You know, that's how he's going to stay sharp at the plate. But I think in terms of what he can really learn, what he's got left to learn is at the big league level, and working with Billy Hayes, working with Bruce Bochy, you know, dealing with situations as they come, catching veteran pitchers who know how to course correct a little bit. I think maybe when he gets his chances to start, he might be able to get more out of those games, even though they might only come once or twice a week versus playing every day in the PCL. So I think that's part of the calculus here as well.
Where do you think Hector Sanchez will be August 1st of 2015?
Well, it's a good question. I think the Giants would like for Susek to become a valuable guy off the bench and a valuable guy, you know, as a backup catcher and show that he's ready for this. And they go along without needing to make any changes. So, you know, Hector would obviously be catching in the minor leagues. But, you know, it all depends on what your needs are. If they need another bat off the bench, he's a switch hitter. If he's swinging well at AAA, you know, then maybe he's brought up. It all just makes sense with the ebb and flow of the schedule, of where the days off fall, of you know, they're going to face a lot of right-handers, a lot of left-handers, who else stays healthy. So it's a hard thing to predict, but I think if you go at it from a all else being equal kind of an observation, then he'd probably be catching for the Rivercats.
Boy, interesting. I think he's going to be part of a trade piece, and I think he's going to go down there and hit the heck out of the ball and up his stock a little bit. But that's just a guess on my part. So who knows what'll happen? But if you look at this team, 18-18, Pence is gone, and Kane and Peavy are out. Is it okay where they are right now?
I think so. When you lose 2/3 of your rotation before, you know, opening day, essentially hours before opening day, and you know you're going to be without a guy who not only is, you know, the heart and soul of the team in a lot of ways, or and a big run producer in the lineup, but a guy who gives you energy every day, which I think is sort of the biggest, most valuable commodity in the game, is just to give you that energy and effort level that's consistent from the first inning to the ninth, you know, even on the 20th day in a row. And what he does, I think, to get everybody else kind of going, you see him putting forth that effort, playing with that kind of energy and enthusiasm. And I think it is something that can carry over to the other guys and have a what's the word I'm looking for? A contagious effect. So to be without that and for them to be at 500, I think they have to feel pretty good about themselves.
All right. We did a little contest today to get in the pool for Original Joe's. Predict what Pence will do tonight. I'll put you on the spot. What will Pence do tonight?
Well, I'd love if he's able to play, because that means that we don't have any rain. there's a little light stuff in the we'll get it in today. Tomorrow looks like it may be heavier, so
right,
let's hope actually able to fly out. But assuming we have a game and he gets four at bats, I'll go 1-for-4 with an infield single and a run scored and a strikeout. How's that?
Okay, Raph, write it down. Andy is always welcome to Original Joe's, but he could be the star of the evening if this happens. But all right, we've got you know, you said rain tomorrow. I just cringed when you said that. After the Colorado 7 hours and 10 minutes for me on that one, I said, not again. But is there really rain tomorrow?
Yeah, I've got my Rain Aware app here. And if John Miller uses it and Dwayne Kuiper, then you know it's the app to get for weather. So the Rain Aware says dry for the next 3 hours. Tarps on the field, no BP. It's very lightly sprinkling. Oh. There could be some more intermittent stuff tonight, but probably light enough for them to play through it. But it says the chance of rain by the first pitch tomorrow is 85%. So
great.
I just checked my United flight to see if I've been upgraded to first class tomorrow night, even though I probably won't even be able to get on the plane. So I'm keeping a good thought in mind.
All right, Raph, call Amici's. Get the chicken wings for tomorrow. We're going to be here a while. last night there was all a right. Fire. Come on, what was happening last night? One of the smokestacks went on fire.
Yeah, I was down the left field line. I was sitting with a friend of mine from college who lives here in Cincinnati. Was watching the game, and the firework went off during McGee pitched to him, and then a pitch to Blanco, and so you know something's going wrong out there. And then all of a sudden, I saw a couple flames pop out the top of that smokestack, and I thought, well, that is not right, because they do shoot the flame up, you know, for a strikeout, but this was clearly the flames were licking the sides of that smokestack, a decorative smokestack out there. So you knew something was actually ignited that wasn't supposed to be. And it turns out, we talked to the director of ballpark operations, there's a propane line that they use to fuel that strikeout fire, and the valve on the line failed, and the whole thing kind of went up. And they were able to cut the fuel. They did everything safety-wise they were supposed to do. They only evacuated the fans out of the section below because they knew they might get hit with some water when they extinguished it. And then the firefighter went up a ladder, and they got a standing ovation for putting the fire out. But yeah, for more a full inning, for almost a half an hour, you had a fire going, you know, uncontrolled or whatever, in the background. So that was a little bit odd. And I'll be on fire too if I don't get get in Bruce Bochy's office. Right, I think he's about to talk. So
all right, very
run.
Good. I'll leave you with this. The Reds' bullpen is the worst in the league. They could have thrown gasoline on the fire.
Well, I did write that Jason Marquis got torched, so there you go.
All right. Thanks, Andy. All right, thanks so much.
Thanks, Marty.
All right, that is Andy Baggerly, Extra Bags, on Twitter. Always a pleasure having him on. Okay.